Support for KQED Podcasts comes from Star One Credit Union, now offering real-time money movement with Instant Pay. Make transfers and payments instantly between financial institutions. Online or through Star One's mobile app. Star One Credit Union, in your best interest.
From KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, this is Political Breakdown. I'm Scott Schaefer.
And I'm Katie Orr. In this week for Marisa Lagos. And today on The Breakdown, he's mayor of the second largest city in California. And Todd Gloria made history last year when he was elected to lead San Diego.
That's right. Todd Gloria broke several barriers at once, actually. First person of color and first openly gay person elected mayor in San Diego. Also, first Native American or Puerto Rican mayor of a U.S. city with more than a million people. He is virtually a walking United Nations, Katie.
That's right. And he went from the San Diego City Council to the State Assembly and now back to his hometown City Hall in the mayor's office.
That's right. And Todd Gloria is going to join us to talk about all that and much more. And by the way, of course, you covered him, Katie, when you worked for KPBS down there in San Diego. I'm sure we'll do a little reminiscing, perhaps. but first, much more immediately this week, we had a little bit of clarity brought to the recall election. There were some big lawsuits settled up in a superior courtroom in Sacramento, or a couple of courtrooms, actually. There was a winner. And that would be Mr. Elder, Larry Elder. And there was a loser, Kevin Faulkner. We may talk with the mayor about him a little bit. But these lawsuits, they'll make somewhat of a difference. The biggest difference, of course, is that Larry Elder is running for governor.
Right. He initially was kept off of the candidate list because the Secretary of State, Shirley Weber, said that there was a problem with the tax returns that he filed. In California, if you want to run for governor, you're required to show your last 5 years of tax returns. And she had said that there was a problem with his. But the judge ruled that he had substantially complied with the order to release his tax returns. And actually, she went one step further and said that candidates should not have been required to show their tax returns because this is a recall election and not a primary election.
Yeah, a lot of us,
which is what the law states.
Exactly. A lot of us, I think, were surprised that somebody didn't sue to prevent themselves from having to release their taxes because of that very question. But ultimately, the judge settled that matter. And so now we have not just Larry Elder, but 45 other people running for governor. Quite a bit fewer than ran in 2003, when I think there were 135, including Arnold
right.
Schwarzenegger. So a little clarity to that. No major Democrats in the race. But the other lawsuit was Kevin Faulkner, the former mayor of San Diego. He wanted to have his ballot designation. You get three words. San Diego counts as one. He wanted to be called retired San Diego mayor or mayor of San Diego. And the judge said, nope, can't do that, which was the judge agreed with Secretary of State
with
Weber
Shirley
on that
Weber.
One. Yeah.
Right. They were lots of arguing about, you know, this specific meaning versus the common usage of retired. And is he retired because he was termed out? The judge ultimately felt like, no, that wasn't the most accurate a way he could describe himself.
Yeah, I was a little, you know, I think that law needs to be revisited personally. There was a lot of fun on Twitter about what he could alternately be called. John Cox, who's also running, suggested failed mayor of San Diego. erstwhile mayor was you. Used
completed?
To be, one word used to be. That was
yeah.
from
completed.
Our friend
he
Joe Garofoli.
He completed his term.
He
yeah.
did, yeah. But anyway, he will now be called businessman/educator, which I'm not sure that helps a whole lot, but
I feel like that probably hurts. I mean, that doesn't even point to the fact that he had, you know, he was the mayor
yeah.
at one point.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. In San Diego, nowhere to be found in that definition. But it's interesting because, you know, immediately after that ruling was handed down, Faulkner attacked the Democratic Party, said they tried to put their thumb on the scale of the recall, kind of went hard partisan in his response. What did you make of that?
Honestly, it was surprising because I covered him as well on the city council. He was on the city council the same time that Mayor Gloria was on the city council and came off as certainly at that time was not the most conservative person on the council. That's when Carl DeMaio was on the council as well.
It's hard to get to his right.
Yeah, it's true. But he came, you know, he painted himself as kind of a moderate. And so to see him come out pulling that kind of Trump era move was surprising. Maybe just shows you that it's a crowded field, and they're not getting a lot of attention, these candidates.
You know, Larry Elder, if you look at his, so he's, of course, a talk show host, nationally syndicated talk show host. He's got, like, I think 400,000 followers on Twitter. When he tweeted out that he won his lawsuit, there were something like 25,000 likes compared to 83 for Kevin Faulkner when he tweeted his loss out. So you have to, although Larry Elder may not be a household name in a lot of parts of California, you do have to think he's going to have an ability to raise some money, get a lot of attention, and he is a good talker, you know, which, of course, the media loves.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing just to note, when I was watching the court hearing about, you know, whether he could be a candidate, it was on YouTube. And so in the comments, you could just see all of these people weighing in. And then when you went to Kevin Faulkner's, there was nothing like that. So even just like the attention that he generates among his supporters, it's noticeable.
And just a word about Secretary of State Shirley Weber, another of Todd Gloria's former colleagues in the Assembly. She's now the top election official. I'm sure she would have preferred to have some more low-key elections under her belt before she got to this recall. But she's been sued by the governor. She won that lawsuit and now sued by two of the candidates, actually more than two, but the two of the big ones running for governor. So she's had, you know, she's being tested early. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, she kind of got thrown right in there. This was like, this is probably the biggest thing she's dealt with since she has been the Secretary of State. And there's a lot of pressure on her, you know, from whether or not even just setting the pace of the process, you know, is it going to be in September? Yeah. Is it going to be in November? A lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure. All right, we're going to get to the mayor in a sec. We should just mention that all of this is now happening as COVID rates are spiking in California. The positivity rate is up, hospitalizations. Get a vaccine, everybody. That is the bottom line. All right, we're going to take a short break. And when we return, we're going to be joined by San Diego's new mayor, Democrat Todd Gloria. You're listening to Political Breakdown from KQED Public Radio.
Support for this podcast comes from San Francisco International Airport. Some want it all. SFO wants zero. Zero landfill waste, net carbon, and net energy by 2030. Learn more about the triple zero goal at flysfo.com.
And welcome back to Political Breakdown. I'm Scott Schaefer with Katie Orr, and we're joined now by Todd Gloria. He's the new mayor of San Diego, been in the job about 8 or 9 months. San Diego, by the way, second biggest city in California after Los Angeles, about 1.4 million people. He, by the way, is the first person of color and first openly gay person elected to the job. Todd Gloria, welcome to The Breakdown.
Thank you so much for having me.
How is it that San Diego gets a gay mayor before San Francisco, by the way?
We're just lucky.
Or Long Beach. I mean, come on. I want to ask you, you are now the top dog down there. You're sitting there in the mayor's office. You were on the city council. You were in the assembly. What's the difference for you in being the decider, as George W. would say?
It's good. I'm very happy in this job. You know, I did this job briefly a number of years ago when we had a mayor resign and I served as council president. I did the job for 8 months. Now I have the opportunity to hopefully do it for 8 years and I'm having a blast. And that's saying something because it's obviously a difficult time to be in leadership anywhere. This is my hometown. I'm a third generation San Diegan, and the opportunity to lead an organization, not just the city, my hometown, but an organization of 11,000 employees, you know, $4 billion plus budget. And as you mentioned, the second largest city in California, but also importantly, the eighth largest in the United States. It's really an opportunity to make a difference and to improve the city that I love so much. So I'm having a great time and I really appreciate the chance to talk about my hometown.
Well, Todd, can I call you Todd? I feel like everyone calls you Todd.
Yeah. The title's changed. The name does not. Tiglo also works.
Yeah. I mean, I have to bring it up because you touched on it, that you were mayor for a brief period of time following the brief reign of Bob Filner. I wonder, as someone who was on the council there while that whole debacle was going on, and we should mention that Bob Filner was elected in San Diego and then resigned about 8 months later following just like a slew of sexual harassment charges against him. when I was there, I covered his race, and I think there was a lot of excitement from people because there hadn't been a Democrat in California, in San Diego, as the mayor for so long. As someone who was sort of more within the process, you know, in City Hall, what was your take on that time?
Well, it was a really chaotic time. And Katie, you're right. It started out hopeful. You know, San Diego has long been a blue city, but our leadership hadn't reflected that until that election. And we had the opportunity to change course and I think do things that are more aligned with the priorities of the people of this city. But we got a lemon. And thankfully, that was short-lived. And I had the opportunity to put the city back on track and really try and clean up a large mess that was left behind and get going again. Of course, we've had this hiatus over the last few years where, you know, again, our politics and leadership didn't align with the people of this city. But, you know, now have an opportunity to have that alignment and to do the things that I think people want us to do, you know, address homelessness, an aggressive yet compassionate approach, to prioritize investing in our city infrastructure, particularly our employees, because it's nothing. Public service is something that should be valued and should be invested in. These are things that were just not possible previously. Former Mayor Filner had the opportunity to do that. He wasted that opportunity. I'm not going to waste my opportunity to drive this kind of change in our big city.
Not going to throw away your shot, to quote
exactly.
Hamilton. So we want to get into more about what you're doing now as mayor, but we always like to start at the beginning, more or less, on this show. And so you are a San Diego native. Tell us a little bit about growing up. You were the son, the kid of a maid and a gardener, I think. What was it like growing up in that family?
You know, the way I describe my parents, you know, I was this nerdy kid that was watching C-SPAN and reading the paper for fun, you know, and you can imagine how that went over on the playfield at school.
Were you bullied?
Oh, of course. And that was long before bisexual orientation and other things provided opportunities for people to harass me. But, you know, I was that kid. And, you know, my parents were not registered to vote until I helped them register years and years later. I didn't come from a political family. And at the time, I was often frustrated by that. But Scott, I'll tell you, here I am decades and decades later. I didn't get the parents I wanted. I got the parents I needed, which is to say, two blue collar folks who work extremely hard, who sacrificed everything they could to give their kids a better life. And it's that upbringing that really drives decision-making in my administration. You know, when I think about who I'm here on behalf of, I'm thinking about folks who didn't have a car. We didn't have a car for periods of time when I was a kid. Getting around San Diego in public transit then was hard. It's still hard. So it's no surprise that I'm trying to push forward a regional transportation plan that would give San Diegans options when it comes from getting from A to B. Why I authored the city's minimum wage increase ordinance when I was on the city council, because I know how hard it is to make ends meet here. So yeah, I may have been a little frustrated as a kid, but I'm deeply grateful to my parents. They gave me the best morals, the best values. And they taught me that if I care about something, I'm supposed to leave it better than I found it. I didn't know at the time that that was the perfect recipe for public service. And it's why I've spent my career doing what I can to make the city I love better.
One thing I've noticed covering you for, gosh, 12 years now, is that, yeah, it's a long time. I'm old. Is that,
don't start.
You know, you're.
What does that make me?
Us.
yeah. You know, you're obviously a really affable guy. People like you. But I do feel like earlier in your career, there were some people who doubted whether or not, you know, you could take on the leadership role and like stand up and really be the forceful one in the room. What do you say to those criticisms? I mean, obviously you're mayor now, but do you think you've evolved as a politician?
No, I think I'm very consistent in who I am and what I've always been, and I still am today. You know, honestly, Katie, I think I've been asked that question before by folks who have watched my career for a period of time. And I think a part of it is that I don't fit people's vision for what a leader would look like literally. You know, when I was a kid in high school, I was told by a teacher that gay people couldn't get elected to office because that was just not something that was allowed. And I think that spoke more about that teacher than it did about me. You know, the idea that someone like me could not be in a position of leadership by virtue of who I am. And then you mentioned my style, which, yeah, isn't as confrontational as I think many in this business. And I think that's a good thing. I think our politics would be better if more of us took the time to treat each other with grace and with dignity and spent more time listening than talking. My first job was with the County of San Diego in social work. And while with all due respect to a lot of folks in politics, many of whom have law degrees and spend their time planning out arguments and being, you know, combative, you know, my approach was helping people in challenging situations connect them to resources to solve their problems. I think that's a better skill set for this work. And I think that's a part of why sometimes people may interpret me differently. But when you look at the record of passing the most ambitious climate action plan, a minimum wage increase, overturning different referendums of ordinances that I passed, passing dozens of laws in the legislature, you know, when it comes to a fight, I'm prepared to have a fight. And more importantly, I'm prepared to getting the results that the people who elected me expect me to deliver.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Political Breakdown from KQED. I'm Scott Schaefer here with Katie Orr. And our guest today is San Diego Mayor Todd Gloria. He's serving his first year in that job. He was elected last year following Republican Kevin Faulkner in that job. I want to come back to when you were a kid. You said you were home watching C-SPAN. I was home watching Meet the Press, by the way, when I was a kid. Were you, like, what was it that drew you to politics? Were your parents political? And then what did they think when you sort of started going in that direction?
Yeah, no, they weren't. I wish we'd known each other because at least we'd have something to talk about. I love Beat the Press. I don't know why, you know, Scott, I don't know why. I was just always drawn to government, to politics, to public service. My parents, as I mentioned before, not registered to vote, not extremely political people. They still continue to not be overly political. It was just what I was drawn to. And I will tell you two things about that. Number one is I'm grateful to my parents for not trying to steer me in another direction. They understood what I was interested in. And when I wanted to go volunteer on a campaign, I was, you know, 11, 12, 13 years old, whatever it was, they would facilitate that. They bought me a bus pass to allow me to go volunteer on Democratic candidates' campaigns. And I'm grateful because they could have said no, and I might've chosen to do something different. The other thing I share that's takeaway from that story is that, you know, I tell young people, you know, follow your passion. I was just lucky to kind of figure out what I was passionate about early on and then sort of devote my focus, time, and attention in that direction. What I see a lot in my life are people who are passionate about certain things, but they're often embarrassed or inhibited from pursuing it. And that's not a recipe for success. I think my success has really come from the fact I know what I'm interested in, I know what I want to do, and I've been fortunate enough to be able to go do that. I wish that for everyone, whether that's in politics or in whatever other field. Find what you're passionate about and go do it.
I wonder, Todd, I mean, obviously now you're very open about the fact that you're a gay man. You're the first, you know, elected gay mayor in San Diego. But of course, as we all know, the world always hasn't always been that accepting. I wonder, was it hard for you to come out to your family? And then considering a role in a job in politics, was that something that made you nervous, wondering if people would accept you?
Yeah. And I think importantly, that's not something from the past. That's something that continues to be a challenge for a lot of people. And all I can say is that all of the fear that I had about telling my family and my friends and coworkers or whatever, almost uniformly, it was not what I thought it would be. It was generally very positive. And I think two things came from that. One is that in a belief that I was somehow damaged. That's you know, what society tells LGBTQ kids is that you're somehow less than, or you're damaged goods. You know, it caused me to overperform in everything else, right? I was voted most involved when I was in high school. And that was very much about, you know, trying to make up for these deficiencies. And while that comes from a really tragic place, what it did was taught me to work in be able to move around in different rooms and with different cliques and different groups and develop skill sets and experiences that all have sort of accumulated in my career that I've had. And so it's called the best little boy in the world syndrome. There's a whole book about it and I've lived every bit of it and I could write the sequel to it. The other part of it is that coming out requires a level of honesty that voters, I think, are attracted to, a level of authenticity that people, I think, are drawn to. And so, you know, while I don't think there's anything bad about being LGBTQ, I think that when folks see me being open and proud and honest, that informs their understanding of how I approach this work and how I approach my life, and that I will treat every other issue I come across with the same level of honesty and authenticity. I think people crave that in politics, and I hope that my presence in this work that I present with the level of authenticity that people are wanting, that we frankly need if we're going to get the change that we need on so many different issues.
You know, San Diego is not the first city most people think of in California when it comes to being home to political leaders. But, you know, it's the home of Pete Wilson. He was mayor of Pete Wilson. You're the mayor. Toni Atkins was both the Speaker of the Assembly. Now she's President Pro Tem. You know, John Cox ran for governor, ran against Gavin Newsom. Kevin Faulkner, you know, there's a lot of people. Shirley Weber was in the Assembly. Now she's Secretary of State. How has San Diego changed, do you think? It's obviously become more blue because there haven't been a lot of Democratic mayors. You know, it's becoming increasingly Democratic. What's going on down there?
Demographics. You know, it's a changing, urbanizing community. You know, I think it says as much about the Democratic Party as it does about the Republican Party. You know, we are a diverse city. We're on the border. We're on the Pacific Rim. And increasingly, folks that are outwardly focused and embracing of things like immigration and sensible border policy don't have a home in the Republican Party. And so I think a lot of the folks that I'm honored to represent don't have a place in that party and either have gravitated to being independents or become Democrats. The other thing is that, you know, again, speaking broad brush, but I don't feel like there's a lot of space in the Republican Party for people of color, LGBTQ folks, working class people. And so where they could go. But our city has changed. And I think that one of the ways it's changing is, I mentioned a moment ago, rapidly urbanizing. You know, we are, when I was a kid, you know, we were a city of a couple hundred thousand people. We're now, you know, knocking on 1.5 million. And that brings change with it. And very much my campaign, I was very express when running for mayor, that we, our biggest challenge as a city is that we're a big city that operates like a small town. And I'm interested in disrupting that. I want us to embrace the fact that we're the second largest city in the country, in the state, the eighth largest in the country. And then by doing so, we can actually solve the problems that have bedeviled us down here for so long. You know, much of the race for mayor was centered on issues like vacation rentals and scooters, which is such an expression of that small town thinking. When the average voter I was talking to me about the inaffordability of our housing, the traffic and that they're sitting in, the homelessness numbers that are rising. These were the things people were talking to me about. And it gives me a sense that they were willing to embrace this bigger city vision, that if we leaned into our size and addressed the real problems that need addressing, we would solve those and move on to other things. And I think my bet was right because we won and I'm here talking with you guys.
Well, and one issue, you mentioned housing, and of course, housing is expensive, I feel like, everywhere, really, in California. But you know about that firsthand. You have been open about the fact that you don't own a home. You cannot afford to own a home in your own city. I mean, what is that like for you, being the mayor, and you don't have, I mean, you have a place, obviously, but you don't own a place of your own?
Well, it's nuts. And it shows you that if I'm struggling to be able to buy a home, what does that mean for the average San Diegan who's the median income is substantially less than what the mayor makes, right? I don't want anyone to be misunderstood. I make a good salary. The people of the city compensate me extremely well. But even I have the difficulty of trying to find to put together a down payment, right? To be able to find something that I can live in that my family would want to live in. So, again, I bring that to this desk every single day of the week, is recognizing that as much as I would like to be a homeowner in my hometown, and I know that it's difficult for me, I think about the hundreds of thousands, if not more than a million San Diegans that are in the same boat and actually have less hope that they can change for them. And so, yeah, you've seen me be outspoken on housing policy. And Katie, you raised something that's important. This is not just a San Diego issue. This is a statewide concern. And so perhaps unlike some of my other colleagues who are leaders of their cities, you see me being outspoken about statewide policy, things like Senate Bill 9 that our Senator Toni Atkins is advocating for. A lot of cities are opposed to it. But as mayor of San Diego, I know that all the policy initiatives that I'm pursuing to increase housing production will not solve the entirety of the state's housing crisis. San Diego can't do it all by ourselves. We need every city participating. And so supporting sensible legislation like SB 9 is, I think, extremely important to make sure that every city is doing its fair share. The ultimate goal being that we increase the amount of housing production so that people at all income levels, particularly the working and middle class of this state, can actually afford to see a future for themselves here. my fear, Katie, and you're living this, right? We grew up in America's finest city. We have wonderful universities that are here. We graduate really smart people whose educations we subsidize and that we are proud to do that. We hand them a diploma and then we show them the door because we're not willing to make a place for them here. My administration is very express about saying we want to build more housing, particularly for working and middle-class people. And we need to make that a statewide ethos, or otherwise we won't solve this housing crisis.
Getting really short on time, but I want to ask you about your predecessor, Kevin Faulkner. We alluded to him, Republican mayor for two terms, retired, termed out, you choose. But he was a fairly moderate Republican and became known that way. He was critical of President Trump. Now he's running for governor. He voted for President Trump in 2020. His rhetoric is a little more harshly partisan. What do you make of the Kevin Faulkner you know? Is this the guy you remembered as mayor, or, you know, has he changed? What's going on?
There are differences. You know, I observe that. And, you know, I can't speak to what's driving his changes. What I would say very directly, Scott, is that I think that the recall is unnecessary. I support Governor Newsom. I think he has been a phenomenal leader during a really difficult time. And I think that my predecessor and all the others who are on the ballot will have a difficult time convincing Californians to change horses midstream. We know each other well. The changes, I don't understand them.
Todd, you know, before we let you go, obviously San Diego, home to the world famous San Diego Zoo, got dragged all over that place when I was a kid. what is your favorite animal? Go.
Well, they're not here currently, which are the pandas, you know, and so that's something we have to. They're in China. They sent them back.
They're not natives. No,
they're not. Well, neither are most of the animals at the zoo.
They're in quarantine.
No, you know, our agreement with China expired a couple of years ago, and we're hopeful to reinvigorate that relationship. We built a beautiful exhibit. It's still there, and it's available anytime the government wants to start the lending program again. But Katie, you're right. You know, this world-class city I was talking before, we need to embrace the fact that we are a big city. Our zoo is a great proof point for what we can do when we really put our minds to it. We have the best zoo in the world. Put that up against any other mayor. And I'm glad you know that. I'm glad the listeners of KQED will now know that too.
Do you have people, visitors, tourists, who call your office and say, we came here to see the pandas. Where are they?
I've absolutely had that experience. So you understand why I'm putting out this urgent call for pandas for our zoo.
So there's some hope that they're going to come back.
There is hope for that. I think some changes at the federal level help with that bilateral relationship that is necessary in order to get those pandas lent back to us.
All right, real quick, what's your second favorite animal then?
Well, you know, let's see. I was there recently. I think the ones that stick out. Is this gay if I say flamingos? I don't know.
Yes.
They're right there, as Katie will tell you, they're right there at the front. They're the welcome wagon for the zoo. And, you know, a lot of the zoo has changed over the years, but that particular part has stayed consistent. And so maybe there's some nostalgia in it. But they're beautiful, they're colorful, they're fabulous, and they welcome you to San Diego. Maybe that's me too.
All right. Well, you've won over all the John Waters fans, I'll tell you that. Mayor Glaria, thanks so much for joining us. Really great to talk with you. That is going to be it for this edition of Political Breakdown. It's a production of KQED Public Radio.
Our producer is Guy Marzorati. Our engineer is the one and only Katie McMurrin. KQED's team includes Holly Kernan, Ethan Tovin-Lindsay, Vinny Tong, Otis Taylor Jr., and Erica Aguilar. I'm Katie Orr. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at @1KatieOrr.
And I'm Scott Schaefer. You can follow me on Twitter, but not for the next 2 weeks, okay? Because I'm going on a beach somewhere. But it is @ Scott Schaefer. We'll see you next time, everybody. Thanks so much for listening.